This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. On the line with us, Craig Aaron. Craig is the president and CEO of Free Press. Freepress.net is the website. You can tweet him at not Aaron Craig. Do I have that right, Craig?
Yeah, that's right. When you have two first names, sometimes you have to remind people. So I'm Craig Aaron, not Aaron Craig, except on Twitter.
Okay. And, of course, the website, freepress.net. So the FCC vote, I'm not sure this is even the right word, but the FCC vote is scheduled for tomorrow on whether to hand our internet here in the United States, created by our federal government with our tax dollars, as a public good, whether to hand this over to a small handful of multi-billion dollar corporations or whether to keep it in the public good, as it were. What are your thoughts on how that's going to play out, and how are people responding around the country right now?
Well, that's absolutely right. It is a vote. The Federal Communications Commission is expected to vote to dismantle those fundamental open internet net neutrality protections that you're talking about. These are protections that folks like me and millions of others fought for 10 years to put in place during the final couple of years of the Obama administration. And now the Trump FCC is trying to tear them down. And we do expect tomorrow that they will go forward with that vote. It will almost certainly be a 3-2 party line vote, with all of the Republicans, the Trump appointees, voting to get rid of net neutrality, and the two Democrats standing strong in opposition. But what's interesting, and you know, the Tom Hartman Program was a show far ahead of most of the media when it came to the issue of net neutrality, but is that there is this unprecedented public response. We've really never seen anything like it in terms of public awareness or outcry on this issue. The agency received 22 million public comments in support, many of them in support of net neutrality against what the FCC is doing. Since these rules were announced, since it became clear just how far the Trump administration was going, there has been a groundswell of opposition, nearly a million calls into Congress. Some offices were reporting they were getting more net neutrality calls than they were getting calls about taxes. There have been 700 protests organized across the country last week in all 50 states, in the big cities for sure, but also small towns in Oklahoma, in Alaska, everywhere. And of course, the internet itself has been very outraged about what's happening. So you've seen places like Reddit, for many people, the homepage of the internet, one of the most popular websites in the country and the world, its entire front page dominated by net neutrality stories, places that you would never expect to see talking about media policy, the NASCAR subreddit, the number one topic being net neutrality. So something is really changing politically. We're seeing a huge, huge groundswell of opposition. And so this vote is going to happen tomorrow, but it's absolutely not going to be the last word in this fight.
Congressman Mark Pocan was on for the hour in the first hour of our program, taking calls from our listeners. And he started out by sharing a rather, I was frankly amazed, I not shocked, but amazed. He said that his office, his congressional office, both local districts and the federal one, have received over 4,000 calls about net neutrality. Now, he's, I mean, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, so people aren't going to call him up and say, you know, well, whatever. And he said over 4,000 calls on net neutrality, not one, literally not one saying blow up net neutrality, turn the internet over to Comcast. All of them, 100%, saying fight to hold net neutrality. That's amazing.
It's incredible. And so much of this has happened, I mean, built on such great organizing, but organically, like people were talking about this over Thanksgiving. You know, those nearly a million calls all across the Hill, most of those happened over Thanksgiving weekend. The Trump administration seemed to be trying to sneak through these rule changes when they thought people weren't going to pay attention. But in today, with everybody looking at their cell phones, everybody looking at their laptops, they had the exact opposite. And you know, it's great to hear that from Congressman Pocan, who's been a real champion for net neutrality. But all across Congress, I saw Mike Quigley from Illinois, not a high-profile member of Congress necessarily. Same story. 4,000 calls for net neutrality, zero against. And believe me, Republican offices are getting those phone calls as well. And we're starting to see Republicans moving against this FCC, speaking against this FCC, which you're not seeing on almost any other issue.
So and talking about the politics of this,
response, tremendous.
We have this really serious problem with regulatory capture in the United States since the 1976 Buckley versus Vallejo Supreme Court decision that said that it is constitutionally protected by the First Amendment for rich people and big corporations to actually own their very own politicians and you know, write their own legislation and give the politicians money to introduce it. And as a consequence of that, you know, here we are. So it looks like the FCC is completely captured. I mean, Ajit Pai, the guy who is the chairman, is the former lawyer for Verizon. And Verizon, of course, doesn't want net neutrality. So giving up on the FCC, at least as long as we have a Republican in the White House, the plan B, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Craig, that you're far way deeper in the weeds on this issue than I am. It seems like plan B would be to have Congress pass a law explicitly saying that the Internet is covered under Title II of the Telecommunications Act and is to be regulated as a common carrier. Is that right?
I think you're headed in the right direction. I will complicate it without going too far into the weeds. So the FCC is going to vote tomorrow. Obviously, we are still pushing them and pressuring them not to do so. If that does not succeed, though, in the next 24 hours and they pass these rules, the first thing that's going to happen is that we're going to sue them. We're going to go to court. And this is true. Anything the FCC does, they go to court. When they did the right thing, they were sued, and the courts upheld that decision. Now that they're doing the wrong thing, we think we do have a very strong court case against them because it is actually not under the law reason enough to change these rules simply because Donald Trump is president. You actually have to build the case. Right. So that'll be one front. The other front, as you suggest, is going to be Congress. And this is where it gets tricky because the thing that is happening in Congress is the strategy that's being run by AT&T and Comcast is they want this FCC to push through this incredibly extreme measure, tearing down what the previous FCC did and what the people want. They want to get rid of that, and they want to try to leverage that outrage to go to Congress with something that's 5% worse, or 5% less worse, less awful, and they're going to call it net neutrality and call it a compromise and try to ram it through forever.
They want to create a Potemkin village.
That version of this bill. But there are other options. Long-term, I think it looks like exactly what you're describing. Short-term, this Congress has in its power, and they've used it, unfortunately, for usually to overturn good environmental and privacy regulations, but they have in their power something called the Congressional Review Act, which allows them to pass a resolution of disapproval that throws out actions of agencies. And so I think there's going to be a big push early next year to get Congress to do absolutely that, to reject what this FCC has put forward and go back to the solid rules on the books, which are absolutely grounded in the law, Title II of the Communications Act, backed by the courts. Right. So that'll be the first step. And then I think the longer play, of course, is, yes, we want Congress to take this seriously. They need to act. But this exact Congress we have today and the kind of people pulling those levers, the kind of capture you're talking about, we just need to be very cautious and make sure we're not signing away or compromising away something that's anything less than real net neutrality based on strong authority.
Brilliant. So well said. Craig Aaron, the president and CEO of Free Press. Freepress.net is the website. You can tweet him at @NotCraigAaron.
Not Aaron Craig.
Excuse me, not Aaron Craig. You're right, not Aaron Craig. Thank you for correcting that. Or @FreePress or @FreePressAction. Craig Aaron, you're doing God's work. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for the opportunity, Tom. Always appreciate being on.
Good talking with you. We'll be back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Back with more of your calls and the news of the day right after this. And welcome back, Ed, in Birmingham, Alabama. Or is it Birmingham, Ed?
Birmingham, that is
Birmingham.
Correct.
Okay, what's up?
It's always a good day when Alabama's least popular prom date loses an election.
Yeah.
But anyway, that aside, like many of your other callers, I wanted to express my concern about the Democratic DNC rainmakers taking the wrong message from this win down here. Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're taking the wrong message. I mean, we talked to Tom Perez, and he was very clear that there was a bad candidate here as much as Doug Jones was a good guy. I mean, he of course, wants to emphasize the wonders of a Democratic candidate. But
I don't want to dispel the notion that he did a great job in the outreach, especially with minorities and women.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's time for them to admit that the same thing that they encountered here with Roy Moore is very similar to what they, turned a blind eye towards with Hillary Clinton. And that is the fact that she was an absolutely terrible candidate. And with the different types of warts, for sure. But still, at the same time, you know, she was, she was her own worst enemy in that campaign.
In some regards, I think the biggest, the biggest hit on Hillary Clinton was that she was married to Bill. I mean, Bill Clinton is not the, or maybe I'm misjudging the electorate these days, but my sense of it is that Bill Clinton is not the hero that he was a decade or so ago. That the Me Too movement, the sexual allegations about Bill Clinton have hurt him badly. I think that hurt Hillary. Let's not overlook the fact that Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes than Donald Trump did.
I'm not overlooking that.
And
that
if Wisconsin hadn't knocked over 150,000 people off the voting rolls just before the election, where Trump won by, 11,000 votes? If Michigan hadn't thrown over 200,000 people off the voting rolls?
I'm agreeing with you on that.
Okay.
No. I think you're taking my comments incorrectly.
Okay. What am I missing?
Trust me, I'm very happy that Roy Moore lost and Doug Jones won here.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you know, I mean, the DNC purged Zogby.
Zogby got,
not
according to Zogby, according to the email that I got from Jim Zogby.
I received similar ones.
Yeah, on Our Revolution, a week and a half, two weeks ago. He didn't get purged. He got moved from one committee to another committee.
Oh, please. You don't knock somebody. You don't kick somebody upstairs like that. And he's being polite.
It may be. I mean, it may be. But Jim Zogby is not the Democratic Party. There's much larger issues here. And the problem, and this was correctly identified by a caller earlier, Ed. Let me just finish this thought, if I may. The problem is not so much, you know, that the Democratic Party is saying, oh, you know, we're just going to be the corporate arm and we're going to keep out progressives like the Bernie folks or Jim Zogby, who is one of the Bernie folks. The problem is that the majority of the people who are in the Democratic Party right now, the precinct committee people, the people who have come, you know, who've worked their way from the bottom up, are the majority, you know, some percentage over 50%, are still basically rooted in the Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton Democratic Party. And that Democratic Party is fading away, and it's being replaced by the Bernie Democratic Party. I think that's a good thing. Ed, I got to run, but thank you for the call. We'll be back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It is 20 minutes past the hour. Norma in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Norma, as an Alabamian, however you say it, please correct my pronunciation. Your thoughts on the Doug Jones victory?
Alabamian.
Thank you.
This election amazed me. We had about 1.3 million people show up for a special election. This was a massive get-out-the-vote effort. Mm-hmm. And we owe thanks to an organization called Organize Alabama and to our branch of a national organization called Together We Will, Montgomery, Alabama. This is a national organization. And people need to go out in their own states and find this organization and work with it and build it so that they can get the vote out in their own states.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what getting the vote out is what got this election for Doug Jones. This was a massive effort, and we owe a huge thanks to our black population for their voter registration efforts and for their get out the vote efforts. If it had not been for them, this would have been a loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, we, like I said, we owe a huge thanks to the black population because they won this force. And
black women in particular, 98%. Black men were only 93%.
Yes. Yeah. But for if you want to see this happen in your own state, you need to get out and do this. We have six Republicans in the House of Representatives. Right now we have three people planning on running against them for three of those districts, and I'm hoping that we will have six and that we will be able to flip this state. Everybody in this state is up for re-election with the exception of Senator Shelby, who was 83 in May. Mm. He has five more years. But everybody else in this state is up for re-election, and we need people to understand that if you want to see change, you have to get involved.
Yep.
This election is probably scaring every Republican in the country. But if other states will get involved and get active and get out the vote and do their voter registration, we can take our country back, and then we can fix this mess we've got.
Yep.
Yeah. And also, while you were watching CNN, I was watching C-SPAN, and there was a hearing this morning on nuclear waste. And I'd really like for you to get Paul Gunter to come in and tell us what he knows about it.
Okay. Sean, can you? Great. From from your lips, Norma, to Sean's ears, she books our guests and runs our board, and she's our chief cook and bottle washer here. We will make that happen. Norma, thank you very much.
Like I said, it's going to be up to the people of this country. You're either going to sit back and take it, or you're going to get up and get busy.
Yep. Amen. You say it so well, Norma. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Jerry in Tama, Wisconsin. Hey, Jerry, am I saying your town right?
It's Toma.
Toma. What's up?
Yep. Well, I wanted to talk to you and see if, first I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Back at you.
Thank you. I seen Lawrence O'Donnell last week. One of the things he said on the show, he said that those wildfires in California, that new tax thing that they have, the new tax bill they're trying to push through, has something in it that takes away a deduction, if you know, for people that have problem with the wildfire, evidently.
Hmm.
And I was wondering if you'd heard anything about that. Nobody else has said anything about it.
I don't know about that. First of all, the tax bill. Apparently, CNN was reporting about 2 hours ago that the House Senate Reconciliation Committee had come up with the final tax bill, but nobody's seen it yet, to the best of my knowledge. So we don't really know what's going to be in the final bill, whether there was something in the House or the Senate bill to kneecap people in California who have lost their homes to wildfire. Wouldn't surprise me at all. The Republicans hate California.
He had said that there was 11 Republicans that had voted for it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I would love it if they would, a couple of them would change their mind.
Yeah, well, there's 14 elected Republicans in California right now, and flip the 14 .org.com. Hang on just a second. I used to have this website up. I think I might have closed it. Yeah, I did. So I'm sorry. I don't have it right now, but I'm pretty sure it's flipthe14.com. But there's a website out there about that. Jerry, thanks for the call. Excellent point. Let's see here. Jackie in Chicago. Hey, Jackie, what's on your mind?
Hi. I have some organizations that have donated generators to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So anyone who has a generator they want to donate could contact these groups and see if perhaps they could pass their generator on to them or make some type of arrangement to get it to Puerto Rico.
Okay.
The first is called National Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. You can go to nvoad.org and find out more information about them. They also have a phone number, 703-778-5088. It's 703-778-5088. There's another group called medshare.org. That's M medshare.org. They donated 100 generators to Puerto Rico. Mm. They have 3 offices. There's one in New Jersey that is their volunteer and collection center. They have a phone number of 201-866-6090. Again, that's 201-866-6090. The last two I don't have phone numbers for, but one is called CamaServices.org. It's a religious group. They have sent 25 generators to Puerto Rico. Again, it's CamaServices.org. And the last is Razoo.com. A fundraiser of their group that goes by the name Operation Bullpen helped to raise $50,000 for generators.
That's great. Jackie, if I could just put one caveat on this. I'm not familiar with any of these groups, so I would encourage anybody who is thinking of giving through these groups to please check their statistics through one of the Charity Watch organizations and make sure that they're actually passing most of the money along. Jackie, thanks for
the call. Tom Hartman program. Call 202-808-9925.
But Jackie, thanks so much for coming up with that list. And, you know, there's a lot that you can do. We'll be back. It's 27 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. 34 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls. Brad in Montgomery, Alabama. Hey, Brad, what's on your mind today?
Yesterday I was walking through downtown Montgomery, and a lady had stopped asking me to take part in a documentary. And as I was talking to her, she finally got around to who I voted for. When I told her it was Doug Jones, the woman started crying. And I asked her, I said, why are you crying? She said, because I assumed you were a Roy Moore supporter. I said, well, her question originally was, why are we so divided as a nation?
Right.
What can we do to bring ourselves together? And I didn't have an answer for it at first, but when she said that, I said, I think that's the biggest problem, is that we look at somebody and assume they have a certain set of beliefs.
Right.
That they think a certain way. I said, you know, not all of us are like that. You know, people have this idea that everybody in Alabama is a certain way. We're not. I mean, there's a lot of really great people here. But I used to be one of those that I watched Fox News all the time. That's all I listened to was Hannity and the other guys. And my father-in-law told me about 9 years ago, start listening to Tom Hartman. And I did because I figured, well, I'm just going to disprove everything you said. But when I started fact-checking what you were saying, it was all true. And it really changed my mind and the way I thought about everything.
Wow.
And I wish more people would do that. But it's so hard to get people to wake up and start seeing another way. How do you get across to people?
Well, I think you just have to keep telling them the truth. It's one of the things that I'm so proud of about this program is that when I do get things wrong, number one, my listeners call me out on it. And number two, I correct it on the air. And you can't say that about Fox News or right wing hate radio. I think, though, Brad, the big issue that all of us are missing is it's sort of like, you know, if you were to take a group of brown mice and a group of white mice and just kind of jam them together into a little tiny cage where there's so little space that they're guaranteed to fight, and the mice start fighting each other, you know, whether they're doing it based on the color of their fur or not, I don't know, but, you know, it is a terrible metaphor, but I'm doing this on the fly. The mice are fighting each other, they're thinking the other mice are the enemy, but the real enemy is the person who put them in the box and jammed them together. And what we have to realize is that the divisions we're seeing in this country right now, the exaggerated response, for example, to taxes, just the whole spectrum of things, you know, all this particular outrage that's peddled on right-wing hate radio and on Fox so-called news, it's coming from largely one source, which is very wealthy people, you know, multi-billionaires and the corporations that made them rich. And they have a vested interest in dividing us. They can more efficiently and effectively and profitably, you know, scam the government or capture the government, in the case of regulatory agencies, and get, you know, get their profits and get their money, as long as we're fighting with each other rather than we're paying attention to what they're up to. And that's the big issue.
Go ahead.
No, I was getting redundant there. I'm done.
people tend to vote against something that does not affect them at all, but at the same time, they're voting for the party that's doing everything they can to hurt them.
Yeah.
Abortion does not affect me personally because I'm not going to have one. So why would I even vote against something that doesn't affect me when I know good and well they're going to kill me on taxes? I don't, you know, our family doesn't make near enough to buy a senator or anything.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, I think Americans are slowly figuring this out. The whole, you know, Trump, you know, and he's trying to promote himself in West Virginia, saying we're going to bring back coal. You know, increasingly West Virginians know if they really, you know, if they want their state to prosper, going back to coal is not the way to do it. There is so much forward thinking stuff going on in West Virginia. A friend of mine is thinking about running for Congress from West Virginia. I mean, there's so much opportunity. And I'm sure Alabama's the same where you live, Brad. That a lot of these states have been kept down for decades by powerful forces in West Virginia. It's coal in Alabama. It probably has to do with race, but you know, by people who are actually profiting off the fact that they can make Americans hate each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and if they figured out if we all get together, it's going to hurt them really bad.
Yeah.
So let's find the one thing difference about them and make them fight about it.
Yep. Very, very well said. Brad, thank you. You nailed it so well. Thank you. Brilliant call. I appreciate it. Jim in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I got a question about net neutrality. Right now, I get my internet through cable. But what if I switch to satellite? Would that make a difference?
No. Well, I mean, you know, what's going to happen is if they blow up net neutrality, any company that can provide you with internet services will be, you know, they're going to come up. Every internet service provider will have the opportunity to come up with their own packages, and they can compete based on those packages. So, you know, a satellite company may say, oh yeah, sure, you know, you can get X gigs of data, but you can always get Netflix for free, or you can always get Facebook for free, or whoever pays them to provide free, you know, that to, you know, more content and solidify their position on the internet. And there probably will be some ISPs, not broadly available to most Americans, but there will probably be some ISPs that are doing the right thing. It certainly will create a market niche for that, just like, you know, DuckDuckGo is doing a good job of competing against Google with a non-monitored search engine, you know, a search engine where they're not taking your information and turning it into money and selling it to people. So, you know, I think that there'll be some possibilities, but they're not going to be anything close to what we have now. I mean, it's going to be a little better than terrible. Rather than better than what you have. But that, you know, that's the direction I'm guessing it's going to go. We'll just have to see. But, you know, the main thing right now is to call your members of Congress, both your senators and your member of the House of Representatives, and you know, tell them you want net neutrality. You want Congress to pass a law enshrining net neutrality, since the FCC is, you know, clearly captured by a small handful of very powerful ISPs. Yeah, Jim, thanks for the call. Well said. Alex in Edison, New Jersey. Hey, Alex, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. I'll try to make this short. Recently, my daughter got strep throat. We caught it early and we're treating it, but there's someone I want to thank for the treatment, and that is the American taxpayer. There are people who are, you know, regulators. There are, you know, the taxpayer funds the research for the medication, and the, you know, regulation through the district, you know, of the whole supply chain of the medicine. Let me just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
For the 2018 Defense Authorization Act, we added $100 or so billion to the budget, and there was no debate whatsoever. When liberals want to do something, SNAP, CHIP, education, Republicans throw their hands up in the air and they say, oh, how are we going to pay for it? I felt safe at the old levels of spending. I don't know about you, yeah, but I felt quite safe.
When we were only spending as much as every other country in the world combined on defense? Yeah,
yeah.
I felt safe too.
So eventually we're going to have to make cuts. Maybe not cuts, but shaves. We'll need one less regulator here or there. We'll need, you know, we'll pay the regulators less so they have to do something else. Or we'll just, you know, tweak here or tweak there. and eventually the system will crumble. Well, parts of it, or it just won't be as good. Or we'll have drugs like thalidomide that get through the system, if you remember what that is.
I do remember thalidomide very well, yes.
And that, you know, was a drug they gave to pregnant women. And
right, which produced horrible birth defects. Principally in the UK, because required their law at that time required that rabbit studies be used rather than human studies, because in the human studies they actually discovered that thalidomide was a mutagen, but in the rabbit studies it wasn't, and which revealed a bit of a flaw, shall we say, in the way that we were vetting drugs back in the 1950s and 60s.
You mean teratogen, not a mutagen? That doesn't matter.
Yeah, teratogen. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yep.
Okay. So I guess my point is, don't let us, I guess maybe I'm talking to the choir here, let us not be ashamed of, like, government spending. Oh, no, government spending. I mean, it works for us.
Yeah, every new class of drugs was developed, 100% of them were developed, and particularly like the antibiotics that saved your daughter. I mean, strep throat can be can actually be a very dangerous disease. Every single new class of drugs was developed with federal money. All the pharmaceutical companies do is take existing classes of drugs that they're already making money on and tweak those molecules so that they can keep them under patent or so that they can come up with what they refer to as a new drug, but it's just a variation on an old drug. The real cutting edge research, the raw science, is all being funded by National Institutes of Health and being done by principally American universities. So
they're being funded by Americans.
That's right, with our tax dollars, and we are saving lives. And then the pharmaceutical companies run these ads, and the ads probably cost them more than the amount that they spend on research, saying we're out there doing research to solve, to come up with new problems to solve. They're doing research to make more money. It's like, plus most of the pharmaceutical companies are not even American companies. I mean, Bayer is German and Merck is Swiss, and the one that Heather Bresch owns, or is the president of, Joe Manchin's daughter, they make at least one of the drugs that they make, because I take it, is made in India and, sold in the United States. But it says right on the bottle, manufactured in India. And I'm like, wait a minute, but I can't import drugs from Canada? Yeah, Alex, spot on. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back with more of your calls right after this. And welcome back, Tyrone in Waynesville, North Carolina. Hey, Tyrone, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Wanted to mention about earlier, you had a caller talking about errors that Hillary Clinton made, and then you give your opinion. And the only reason I'm doing this, I mean, it is the past, but if we don't learn from our mistakes in the past, we're doomed to repeat them.
Amen.
This is just my two cents. One of the mistakes she made, I did vote for Hillary, but...
Me too.
One of the... I'm sorry, what?
I said me too.
Oh, I kind of picked up on that.
Yeah. Well, I campaigned for Bernie until the primary was over. And Bernie said, hey, if you were a supporter of mine, please support Hillary. And so I said, okay, I'm supporting Hillary. And I thought she was, she wasn't the world's best candidate, but she was a Democrat, and many of her positions were things that, in fact, most of her positions were things that I enthusiastically agree with. But anyhow, back to you, Tyrone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of it I agreed with too. I would have voted for Bernie, but since that was not possible, not practical anyway, could write it in, but that's right. Basically just throwing your vote away.
Yep.
I talked to a few people, men and women, and now in politics, I think perception is pretty much everything, even to the point of maybe superseding fact.
And
if fact and perception coincide,
case in point,
great.
Case in point, Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said case in point, Swift Boat Veterans for Truth. They created the perception that John Kerry had lied about being a war hero. And, you know, arguably he lost the election because of that false perception. They lied through their teeth, but it worked.
Right. They made him look like a sniveling weenie.
Right.
Yeah. What several of them said, and this was, it was men and women that I talked to, all they were hearing was women and children, women and children, women and children. And white guys, naturally, that I had talked to said, well, I guess if I have a problem, that's just what it is, my problem. The fact is, of course, white men do vote. So it's not a good idea to minimize or marginalize a group that, you know, it was a large percentage of voters.
Right.
Now, women said the same thing to me that I talked to, that, you know, hey, you know, it seems like she's almost like a feminist from the 60s. Or something, just not really particularly interested in problem white men have, and not all white men are in the same league as Charles and David Koch.
Yeah,
you know.
I think there was that perception.
You know,
I think
for what it's worth, I think it was an error, maybe not to include that.
Yeah,
the things she talked about certainly were vital issues. There's no question about it, but it's not a good idea to exclude or minimize.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake, and this, in my opinion, lays at the feet of Robbie Mook, the campaign manager, was running those stupid "the children are watching" ads. Everybody knew that Donald Trump was who he was. What we needed to see were ads telling us why we should vote for Hillary Clinton. We already knew about Donald Trump. Tyrone, thanks for the call. But, you know, hey, it's in the past now. Let's move forward. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Robert in Lawrence County, South Carolina. Hey, Robert, what's on your mind today?
Yes. Well, some time ago, I was having a discussion about politics with a fellow, and I made a remark that I thought the conservative voters preferred a dishonest Republican over an honest Democrat. And his answer was reminiscent of what the POW guard said about the German prisoners and their affection for Hitler. He said, yes, that the very worst they had was better than the very best we have.
Hmm. Interesting. So that, it's, and the Republicans, you know, I mean, we saw this on display. The National Republican Party endorsed Roy Moore, a guy who was thrown off the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama twice for violating his oath of office, for breaking his word. And this is the guy that was their great moral hero and all this other kind of nonsense. Spot on, Robert. Very, very well said. Thank you very much for the call. Carol in Twin Cities, Minnesota. Hey, Carol, what's up?
Oh, hey, Tom. I hope you'll let me do two things. Number one, on the insurance thing,
the original
tax bill had that you would no longer be able to deduct damages from tornadoes or floods or fires or whatever over and above what the insurance company pays you. So if you've got a $100,000 loss and the insurance company gives you 50, you eat the other 50.
So you used to be able to deduct the other 50? I've never been through a disaster. I'm sorry.
Evidently, that's how it works.
Yeah.
You get to deduct whatever you have to pay out of pocket.
Interesting.
But the main thing is, I know you were on the air at the time, but MSNBC this morning broadcast a hearing that was, I am assuming, the prelude to trying to get rid of Mueller.
Yeah, this is Rod Rosenstein. He's the number two guy in the Justice Department.
Pardon?
Rod Rosenstein was the guy that they were interrogating. He's the number two guy at Justice.
Yes. And I was so mad listening. I mean, I got so mad. I mean, I think my heart was palpitating. I mean, it was just absolutely awful. Now, there's a couple of guys that were able to get into the congressional record by questioning properly all of the women that have gone against Trump and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they really are gearing up. And I can't believe how fast they got this committee together. They've been slow walking the committee on Russia interference, and it's like this thing popped up overnight, and now they are out to get Mueller.
Yeah, I know. And this is a campaign that's been apparently being coordinated out of the White House and out of Breitbart and whatnot.
In collusion?
Who knows? Mueller is not going to take this laying down, number one. And number two, I'm increasingly coming to the opinion that Russia is not going to bring down Donald Trump, that women are going to bring down Donald Trump. And I think that that is, you know, if that's the case, it is so ironic and so sweet. But it seems to me that the Me Too movement is going to be the end of Donald Trump. That's who is really going after him. But we'll see. I mean, you know, time will tell. But it really that's my sense of it. Carol, thank you for the call. Chuck in Cody, Wyoming. Hey, Chuck, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Tom, I have an observation about wording from the left that I keep hearing. And I understand what they're saying, absolutely. But the wording that I hear is something that I think is going to come back to bite us in future elections or the future election. And the wording is, it's not about right versus left. It's about right versus wrong. And when I hear that, I think, I know what it means, but what I think that the right is going to do is turn that around on us and equate wrong to the left.
Yeah, it's the kind of phrase that George Lakoff would not like at all, and I don't like either for the exact same reason, because it implies that the word right means something positive, and you apply that to right-wing politics, it implies that, you know, that's somehow positive. I agree. I think it's a lousy meme.
And then to say left then is wrong.
Yeah, exactly. That's the clear.
It's not about right versus left. It's about right versus wrong.
Yeah, no, that's the clear implication of it. And it's a phrase that people on the left should not be using. I totally agree with you, Chuck. I totally agree with you.
Good.
Chuck, I got to move along, but thank you for the call. Very well said. Tracy in Los Angeles. Hey, Tracy, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to comment also on the tax bill regarding the state of California, and there were 11, I believe, representatives that voted to like eliminate, or like what Carol said, she had more accurate numbers than I do, but basically if you lost your house to earthquake or fire, that you could not claim any deduction.
Right. And was this 11 out of the 14 Republican members of the congressional delegation from California?
Yes. And what's crazy is that Representative Devin Nunes is actually on the conference committee that wrote the bill. And Mimi Walters she represents Irvine. Irvine is very, Orange County has been on fire. So a lot of these congresspeople that are voting to take away this right to, take these deductions are actually in the areas that have burned like a year or two ago or are on fire now.
Wow.
Which is absolute insanity. And I just don't think that the people who are in these districts even realize that their own congressmen are voting against them in this manner.
Well, hopefully they will when the Democrats run against those congressmen in the election next year. That's fascinating. Tracy, I got to run, but thank you so much for the call and for raising the issue. Been a fascinating day today, and whew, on Doug Jones. But hey, this is just the beginning. We got a long slog to bring this country back to some sort of rationality and sanity, particularly with that fellow in the White House. So in the meantime, don't forget, we've got to get active. We've got to participate. Democracy is not a spectator sport. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.